Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Ladies and gentlemen, brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus, family, friends, and foes, and even foes in the family, I still love you. This is Daniel White III, President of Gospel Light Society International, with the Scripture and the Sense podcasts. Believe it or not, episode number 800. And we give God the glory. And I give a shout out to, and I thank God for my two sons. My oldest son, who helped me to start this podcast, is an idea that God put in my heart based upon the Word of God. And however, my youngest son has done most of these, has produced most of these podcasts. And so I thank the Lord for them, and I thank the Lord for what He's done in the hearts of thousands upon thousands of people, simply through the reading and gaining the understanding of His Holy Word, verse by verse. But as the man who sung the song this morning, we don't take any credit. We give God the glory all for all of it. Praise and honor for all of it is due His name. Podcast episode number 800, where I simply read the Word of God and give the sense of it based on an authoritative commentary source, such as the Bible Knowledge Commentary and or the Matthew Henry Commentary. This podcast is based upon Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 8, where it says, Ezra and the Levites read in the book, in the law of God distinctly, and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. So the aim of this podcast, dear friends, is that through the simple reading of the Word of God and the giving of the sense of it, it is my humble prayer that the church would be revived and that the world would be awakened so that they can be saved from the wrath to come and saved from the eternal burning hell by believing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ preached it first and preached it best when He said the most loving, most important, most wonderful words ever said to mankind at John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Dear friends, today we are reading Zechariah chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Verse 7, upon the 24th day of the 11th month, which is the month Sabbat, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Berechiah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, I saw by night, and behold, a man riding upon a red horse, And he stood among the myrtle trees that were in the bottom, and behind him were their red horses, speckled and white. Shall we pray? Holy Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your holy word. Lord, and Holy Father God, I pray that you would give me your energy and give all of us your energy, your strength, your unction, your grace, and the power of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word, to understand it, to apply it to our lives, and to share it with others in a mighty way, and to proclaim your holy gospel. In Jesus Christ's name we pray and for his sake. Amen. Dear friends, I just read in your hearing before I prayed Zechariah chapter 1 verses 7 and 8. Now here is the sense of it, or the understanding of it, with the help of the Lord and with the help of Dr. Matthew Henry. The prophet saw a dark, shady grove hidden by hills. This represented the low, melancholy condition of the Jewish church, if you will. A man like a warrior sat on a red horse in the midst of this shady myrtle grove. Though the church was in a low condition, present in the midst, ready to appear, Christ was present in the midst, ready to appear for the relief of his people. Behind him were angels ready to be employed by him, some in acts of judgment, others of mercy, others in mixed events. Would we know something of the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven? We must apply not to angels, for they are themselves learners, but to Christ himself. He is ready to teach those humbly desirous to learn the things of God. The nations near Judea enjoyed peace at that time, but the state of the Jews was unsettled, which gave rise to the pleading that followed. But mercy must only be hoped for through Christ. His intercession for his church prevails. The Lord answered the angel, this angel of the covenant, with promises of mercy and deliverance. All the good words and comfortable words of the gospel we receive from Jesus Christ as he received them from the Father. In answer to the prayer of his blood and his ministers are to preach them to all the world. The earth sat still and was at rest. It is not uncommon for the enemies of God to be at rest in sin while his people are enduring correction. Harassed by temptation, disquieted by fears of wrath, or groaning under oppression and persecution, here are predictions which had reference to the revival of the Jews after the captivity, but those events were shadows of what shall take place in the church after the oppression of the New Testament Babylon is ended. Now from the Bible Knowledge Commentary. And it reads, in a single night, Zechariah saw a series of 8 visions, which were interpreted by an angel, and which described the future of the nation Israel. God's program of spiritual blessing set forth in the visions bridges the centuries from the rebuilding of the temple in Zechariah's day to the restoration of the kingdom of Israel under the Messiah. Still future in Acts 1:6, to be fulfilled at Christ's second advent. J. Baldwin has correctly observed a standard pattern in the record of Zechariah's visions. Introductory words, a description of the things seen, a question by Zechariah to the angel for the meaning, and D, the explanation by the angel. She also notes that 4 of the visions are accompanied by summarizing oracles, which usually follow the vision, except for one oracle within a vision. This vision established the general theme of hope for dispersed and downtrodden Israel. Gentile oppression was offset by comforting promises of divine blessing. The day the visions came was the 24th day of the 11th Jewish month of Darius's second regnal year, February the 15th, 519 BC. Shabbat was the Babylonian name of the 11th month, adopted by the Jews after the exile. This date was 5 months after the building of the temple was resumed, 3 months after Zechariah's first prophecy, and 2 months after Haggai's last prophecy, a prophecy regarding the destruction of world powers before the millennial rule of the Messiah. Part B. The source of Zechariah's vision is clearly denoted by the clause, "The word of the Lord came," a kind of prophetic formula indicating divine revelation. The visions, with partial interpretations, were seen in the spirit, had the significance of verbal revelation, and were supplemented by additional words of God. The words, "I had a vision," "I saw," in the KJV, denote the words, "I had a vision," "I saw," in the KJV, denote the means by which divine revelation was conveyed to Zechariah. The expression does not refer to a dream, much less to a mere literary form. Zechariah was awake, as is apparent from his questions and interruptions. The vision included 3 things: A, description of what Zechariah saw; B, an explanation of the same; and C, intercession by the angel of the Lord. The vision, the primary focus on the man riding a red horse, suggests that he was the leader of the horsemen. He was standing astride his horse as though stationed to await the report of his reconnaissance. patrol. He is identified in verse 11 as the angel of the Lord. This messenger was located among the myrtle trees in a ravine, possibly in the Kidron Valley, east or southeast of Jerusalem, where these fragrant evergreen shrubs were probably abundant. A rider sat on the horses behind him, but the more important fact here is the colors of the horses: red bay or reddish brown, brown sorrel, and white. The significance of the colors is not stated, and this is complicated by the fact that the Hebrew word translated brown, NIV, or speckled, KJV, is found only here in the New Testament, in the Old Testament, so that its meaning is not sure. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that the people involved would receive your word in spite of the distractions. And Holy Father God, I praise you and I thank you for your holy word. I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, and I do pray, Lord, that you would indeed give us your energy, your strength, and the unction and the anointing of your Holy Spirit to read your holy word and to meditate on it. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray, and for his sake, amen. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening to the Scripture and the Sense podcast. Please remember to read the Word of God, the Holy Bible, each and every day of your life, and pray without ceasing to God about everything, and for wisdom to understand His Word and apply it to your life. Most importantly, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou, you shalt be saved. Please stay tuned for a complete presentation of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ so that you can get your soul saved from hell to that wonderful place called heaven when you die. May God bless you and keep you, is my prayer. Now, dear friends, if you're with us today and you do not know our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, allow me to show you how you can place your faith and trust in Him, Jesus Christ, for your soul's salvation from sin and hell. First, accept the fact that you are a sinner and that you have broken God's laws. The Bible says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We all have failed God. We're all guilty before God. You do not have the right to look down your nose at others. You're just as wicked as others. Second, accept the fact that there is a penalty, there is a punishment for sin always. You will be paid for your sins one day. The Bible says in Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." Our payday someday is death to these beautiful bodies, death to so many things before you die, death to marriages, death to relationships, death to material things. You will experience 1,000 deaths before you die because of sin. But ultimately, you will die physically. Your body will be put in a cold, dark grave. And that ought to be frightening because it is frightening. But more frightening is that your soul, if it dies without Christ, will go to a burning hell to spend eternity in a dark place, even though there's fire. You say, "Preacher, I don't believe that a loving God would put people in the hell." Well, Jesus Christ, the loving and lowly one, preached more on hell than he did about heaven. Jesus Christ, the loving one and the lowly one, preached more on hell than any prophet in the Bible. He said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 28, "And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him which is able to destroy both soul and body in hell." Also, the Bible says in Revelation 21:8, "But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Whatever you do, don't experience the second death, because it's bad news. Hell is bad news. But I have good news for you. You don't have to go to hell. Jesus suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. And he said these words to you before he left here. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish," that is, perish in hell, "but have everlasting life. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou you shalt be saved." Pray and ask Jesus Christ to save your soul and to come into your heart and change your life. He will do it. Romans 10:9-13 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou you shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from what? Saved from hell. If you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and bled and died on the cross for your sins, was buried and rose again, and you're ready to trust him as your Savior, pray and ask him to save you, and he will. I'll be glad to lead you in prayer in what is called the sinner's prayer, or the prayer of salvation. Repeat after me, phrase by phrase, and mean it from your heart. Let's pray. Holy Father God, I acknowledge that I am a sinner, that I have done evil in your sight. I am guilty because I have broken your Ten Commandments, your law. I've taken your holy name in vain. I've dishonored and disobeyed and disrespected my own parents. I have lied many times before. I have lusted after people and things and what others have. I've stolen things before. So Lord, that's 5 to 6 commandments I've already broken out of your Ten Commandments. And so please have mercy and grace upon me. For your holy Son's sake, Jesus Christ, please forgive me of all of my sins. As I now believe with all of my heart, the best way that I know how, in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he suffered and he bled and he died on the cross for my sins, was buried and rose again. Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and save my soul and change my life. Fill me with your Holy Spirit and help me to repent of my sins past. And help me to turn from my evil ways. In Jesus Christ's name I pray, and for his sake, amen. Now, dear friend of mine, if you believed in your heart on the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died on the cross for your sins, was buried, and rose on the third day, allow me to say to you, dear friend, congratulations on doing the most important thing in life, and that is trusting Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. For more information to help you grow in your newfound faith in Christ, please go to GospelLightSociety.com and read my pamphlet titled, "What to Do After You Enter Through the Door." Jesus Christ said in John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Dear friend, if you trusted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior today, please email me at dw3@gospellightsociety.com and let us know. We have some free material that we want to send you. If you have a prayer request, please email that to us as well, and we will pray for you until you tell us to stop. Until next time, my beloved, God loves you. We love you. And may God bless you real good until next time. Now, I may be traveling here over the next few days, and but I will resume preaching as soon as I get back, and I will do some preaching while I'm on the road. So thank you so much for your prayers. Please continue to pray for us, and we will continue to pray for you. God bless you until next time.